spot, and I hope that you feel the same way. We will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Probably the last Sunday will be in this chapter, and we look forward to moving on. We're almost finished with the book. There's chapter 16, very short, some powerful concepts and principles and summaries in that chapter from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. But we're still taking our time trying to get as much as we can from these verses. And I just got to tell you, today's a good one. You ready for some good news? We're going to read some good news here in just a moment. And I tell you what, this is enough to make me get excited, and that's quite a bit, you know. We all have our characteristics, and you know, I know people that have a temperament where they're always up here, you know. I have to work being here, you know, but this one might get me up to there. I'm just saying, this is good stuff. Before we get started, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this chance to be in your word once again. There's so many things we could do, Lord, as people, as human beings, other than this. And yet this is the thing that really makes us more strong in you, makes us more stable in our walk with you. And there are other things that we could probably enjoy, the things that were better for the ears to hear as far as entertaining and this and that. We could have a good time, Lord, and yet walk away empty with an empty heart. God, I pray that as we read these words this morning, this summarizes the end of the Christian life, the end of each person, each child of God's life, what's going to happen. And so, God, help us to read it not only respectfully and with a real sincere heart, Lord, but help us to see that this thing's going to happen, and we're a part of it, and that is exciting. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Verse 15 talks about a mystery. He's going to show us a mystery. Now, we've seen that word several times in the past, the past several years in our Sunday school lessons. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is something which had not been revealed in the Old Testament, but is now revealed in the New Testament. That's a mystery. In the New Testament, we see it in John as being hinted to. We like these verses. These are good. We hear these verses a lot at funerals and things like that. But the Lord says in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's hinted on. And then even further in Paul's letters to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now here he gives us more details. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's some good stuff. You know, and it's something that really only the child of God can sincerely and truly believe with his heart. We looked in chapter 2, way back when we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there's a verse there that says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, when we went through that passage, we found out that although that verse is mostly used when someone passes away, you hear that a lot at funerals. What it means in the context of the verse is you can't imagine what's available for you now. The power that the Holy Spirit can give you now. Well, that same power from the Holy Spirit is not only there to empower us now and today, it's going to make what's happening. It's going to allow to be possible what's going to happen. The verses that we read. It's going to happen because God's Holy Spirit does work for his people. Verse 52 says, "In a moment." How long's a moment? I don't know how long a moment is. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." I know what that is. "At the last trump." And that's not Donald. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In a moment just means the smallest particle of time. The word is in atomo in Greek, and we get our word atom from that word. Just a tiny little thing, just a moment, just a tiny space in time. He says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." You know, there's a lot of body movements that can happen, but I would imagine the eye, the twinkle of an eye, is about the fastest thing that can happen. You don't even know it's happening. And so Paul uses that little comparison there to put our earthly minds, our human minds, into how fast this is going to take place. We may not even be able to warn each other. You know, it's going to happen so fast. "Linda, get ready." No, we don't. Ran out of time. Didn't get to talk to her. "In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." What does incorruptible mean? Well, as we saw, remember last week, there were four things that changes when all this happens. Our bodies are not getting repaired, they're getting replaced. We're getting new bodies. And our new body is going to have no more corruption. And back in verse 42, we see that it means no more sickness and death. Can you say amen to that? And in verse 43, we see that the new body's not going to have any more shame because of sin. That's called dishonor in verse 43. We see also in verse 43 that the body's not going to have any more temptation or weakness. Can you say amen to that? Boy, I'm looking forward to this body. And then he also said that our body, our new body's going to have no limits to the time-space continuum or whatever, however you want to say it. We're very limited, aren't we? If he took us up now to heaven, our minds would not be able to comprehend or our senses would not be able to handle what's there. So we got to get a new everything. It's all got to go away. It's a good thing. We look forward to it. So in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this, in this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So back when he said the trump, I want to go back to the trump for just a moment. I skipped over that. We see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John tells us this right here. Now listen to this. This is pretty neat. You probably already know where I'm going. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And when he turned to see who was speaking, he saw Jesus Christ. Well, you ask Dwayne, is Jesus blowing a trumpet? Or he could. He could be. But we take it to mean that was his voice. His voice. We're going to hear Jesus Christ himself saying, Linda, let's go. We're ready. You ready? Don't do it now. We got to finish the lesson. We can't go to heaven as we are. We're too messed up. We gotta replace this messed up body with something that's going to be worthy to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and enjoy all the realities of heaven. He says in verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen and amen. O death, where is thy sting? You know what? There's a little taunting going on here in this verse. You a big man now? Are you what you thought you were, death? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, let's get real for just a minute. We still have these bodies. And when we lose somebody, that is painful. That's very painful. And we, that is a grief that is so deep. And that's not going to go away. But when we get out of this body that's so limited and we get into our new and glorious body, that's not going to be a thing anymore. That's not going to be a reality. And here he says death has lost its sting because we are to look way out beyond death. That's hard to do, isn't it? I lost my mom a long time ago. I don't remember, 1997. And that was a pretty rough time because I was a mommy's boy. And I don't mind telling you that. I was a mommy's boy. And so I lost my mom, and that was a real grief. And I remember all the well-meaning people who would use verses like this. And they were effective to a point. But you're so deep in your grief that it's hard for you to even think that way. Amen? You've been there. Every one of you have been there. While those comforting, encouraging words may be there and they're doing some good for you, it's hard to get to that point because we can't even fathom that. Here he's saying, O grave, where is thy victory? Many a man and woman have gone, they've planned a life, a career, or raising a family, and death comes in and just changes it all. death is an awful monster. But look, if we got to go down that door, down that hallway, and through that door of death, aren't you glad you have the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already done it before you've done it? Who can hold your hand? I want to hold the hand of that nail-scarred man right there, and he's going to lead me down, and he's going to help me through it. And all I got to do is trust him. You having trouble believing this? This is kind of beyond our sphere, you know. It's beyond mine. Well, Valerie put something in the prayer list on Wednesday, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, reminder, we serve a God. And then there's a whole bunch of words between what I just said. So now I'll read it the way it's in there. We serve a manna from the sky, water from a rock, sea parting, sun stopping, bread and fish multiplying, fire bringing, lion's mouth shutting, storm calming, chain breaking, mountain moving, dead raising God. I think he can do this thing. He's put our first body together. He knew how to do that. And like it or not, I mean, we try to be healthy sometimes, but when we treat our bodies the way they need to be treated, it's a pretty good situation, isn't it, for most of us. Ain't going to have to worry about that with that new body. He says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we get the victory? Through Jesus. Do we get it by adding to it? Now, Valerie and I were talking this morning in the car coming into church, and we were talking, somehow we got off on trying as a child of God, trying to serve the Lord in a way that is pleasing to him. And basically what it boiled down to is we're all trying. We're all trying to use our whatever skills and whatever knowledge that we have to do a good job in our personal areas of ministry and even public areas of ministry. But at some point, we got to stop trying and just be in Jesus. Because he carries it all. He is making all of what we have studied in chapter 15 come true. Pat's been going to the doctor back here trying to figure out what's wrong. And Patsy just got over a bunch, and I could go down the room because it's happened to everybody. We're going to get that new body. We're not going to need the doctor. Woo. Got some amens out of that one, didn't I? It's all victorious. It's all possible to be victorious because of Christ. So I'm thinking about this passage this week, and I was thinking this way. Well, our whole salvation experience is based off Christ. We come to Christ with nothing. We come to him hoping and praying to rely upon his blood, and he saves us. And then we live in Christ if we live victoriously. And then here when this body becomes, I get rid of this human mess and it becomes an immortal body, it's still in Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Who's the accuser of our brethren? I heard a voice. The devil. He's cast down where he needs to be. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. Boy, if that don't make you think. Satan is up there cursing you, Patsy, right now. Cursing Patsy's name to God. Saying about Patsy what he said about Job. oh, you think he's something else? Let me show you, God. He's not that much. That's the accuser. And all of a sudden we find at the end of time that he's gone. How did he be gone? Verse 11 tells us in Revelation 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Whose lamb? Whose blood was it? The Lamb's blood. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Talking about the martyrs who were faithful to the end. But that's the only way we can overcome, any way we look at it, is through the blood of the Lamb. Now, you know, our generation and those generations before me, we were real good about the schedule, weren't we? We went to church faithfully. I mean, if you went to church, you went to church. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying everybody in the world did that. I'm talking about Christians before my generation, your generation, and all this. Church was important, wasn't it? We were good at that. We had that down. And that's a good thing. There's a lot of benefits there. But I think we also rested too much in what we do. And we forget that we got to rest in Christ. And if we're going to the right church, if we're a part of the right church family, meaning God's word is uplifted and Christ is magnified and glorified in each service, then we'll see that. And I think this church is. So he just helps us see. You remember last week, he told us that Adam, the first Adam, which is Adam, brought this whole thing of death and sin. The second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, he did away with it. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He did it all. He did it all. And then we get to verse number 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I think this verse goes all the way back to chapter 1, verse 9, which says this: "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." You say, well, why do you think that? Because he called us into that fellowship to serve and to be his child and his daughter, to be his family. And in the last verse of this chapter, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, since it was Christ that saved you, and it is Christ that is the only one that can sustain you in your Christian life, and it is Christ that makes this possible, that Dwayne, you're not going to have to worry about that back issue anymore, or Linda and Albert and Judy, whatever it is that's plagued you all your life, you're not going to have to worry about that anymore." Why? Because he's got that too. Christ has got that too. Back in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Now, you know, that's hard to, unless you do a reading of the context and a study like we did when we were in chapter 3, it's hard to know exactly what he means, but let me see if I can explain it a little bit. Everything that you and I need as a child of God to serve him and to please him, to be approved by him, we've already got. Every ability that we need. Now this is tough. This is a hard one, okay? Every ability to defy temptation. Now you say, well, if I've got that, why don't I use that? I don't know. I'm the same way. I'm almost 60 years old, and boy, there's many years in there where temptation got the better of me. You say, what kind of temptation? I'm going to say, none of your business. He says, everything you've got is yours. And I look at this deal and I see in the context of how and what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. I'm going to step off for just a minute. Can you hear me, Jane? Okay. This is to